Nadia Bollinger was a friend of Stravinsky, and she was reminiscing about her cleaning lady, Madame Duval, or we would say Mrs. Duval. And in her mind, she said, Stravinsky and Madame Duval will appear before the Lord for the same reason. Each had done what they did with all their being. When she said this to Stravinsky, who also knew Madame Duval, he said to Nadia, he said, how you flatter me. For when I do something, I have something to gain. But when she does something, she only has her work to speak for it. Isn't that something? C.S. Lewis said this. He said, the work of Beethoven and the work of a charwoman or a maid become spiritual on precisely the same condition, that of being offered to God, of being done humbly as to the Lord. This does not, of course, mean that it is for anyone a mere toss-up whether he should sweep rooms or compose symphonies. Last week, we discussed the one purpose of every believer, and the bottom line was summed up with 1 John chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. But whoever keeps his word, truly in him, the love of God is perfected. This is how we know we are in him. The one who says he remains in him should walk just as Jesus walked. Therefore, the one purpose is to walk as Jesus walked by keeping God's word. But you know, this is all well and good, isn't it? But how do we hash it out in our lives? Today, we're going to explore what it is to keep God's word and walk like Jesus walked in the work of the Lord. I'm going to ask that you turn to in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the same passage that we started with last week. Our brother in Christ and friend, Arnold Galyon, as you know, passed from this life to his glorious eternal life this past Saturday in the early morning. The passage of Scripture we're about to read is now a reality for Arnold. For all of us who knew Arnold, I really hope that this passage will be an encouragement for our loss and a spur for us to live our lives enveloped in the work of the Lord. Please follow as I read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 to 58. Brothers, I tell you this, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and corruption cannot inherit incorruption. Listen, I'm telling you a mystery. We'll not all fall asleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the blink of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruptible must be clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal must be clothed with immortality. When this corruptible is clothed with incorruptibility and this mortal is clothed with immortality, then the saying that is written will take place. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Excelling, he says, in the Lord's work, but focusing then on the Lord's work. Well, the Lord's work, that's our one purpose that we talked about last week, that one purpose. And I'd like to give some meat to that skeleton of one purpose today if I can. The Lord's work. The illustrations I started with describe a composer slash musician and the maid being equally in labor in the work of the Lord. Equally. Now, we've all heard of Beethoven. Many have heard of Stravinsky. Until today, how many of you heard of Madame Duval? 80-year-old cleaning woman. Probably none of us. And yet, before the Lord Jesus, as those who are Christians, that composer, musician, that maid, are just as famous to Him as they do their work unto the Lord. The Christian's work for the Lord and the work of the Lord, it starts with daily, individual, and at least weekly corporate worship. That's where it starts. Jesus stated to an outcast woman in John chapter 4, verses 23 to 24, He said, "An hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship God the Father in spirit and in truth. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." Worship. That's our first work of the Lord. The moment of salvation itself is a person's first act of worship. Did you know that? The moment of salvation is the person's first work of the Lord. The act of salvation is based on one's admittance of their utter sinful state and repenting then of that state, acknowledging Jesus as bodily risen from the dead, and being the Lord of Lords of their life and of this world, and resting in Him alone for their present and eternal state. That's worship. That's worship. Upon a believer's salvation, that should be something we do daily. Worshiping God. Now, worship has some facets to it. How do we worship? So I'm not vague as I purposefully was last week. I don't want to be vague about worship this week. Worship in these facets starts with prayer. A person confessing themselves to Jesus and confessing Him as Lord, that's done in a prayerful manner before the throne room of God. And so in prayer, we worship individually and corporately. Individually, hopefully daily, corporately, at least once a week. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer, what a thing of worship and thanking God, requesting of God, petitioning the Creator of this universe, Almighty Father God. Through prayer, we worship God. And Scripture tells us we are to pray without ceasing. The next facet of worship is through our voice. This is a tough one for some of us. The Bible teaches that we are to make a joyful noise as unto the Lord. And some of us say, well, Pastor, if I'm going to do it, it's going to be a noise. I understand that. But we're still to do it individually. So yeah, be that crazy person in the car singing at the top of the lungs and you don't even have the radio going. And if you had the windows down, maybe you should keep them up. If you had them down, it would certainly be a squawk. For others, you know, maybe we think a little higher of ourselves and we think we have a nice voice, so we do roll the windows down. I don't know. And then corporately, hey, listen, sing it out. Sure, the kids in the congregation, they'll smile and laugh and whatever, but that doesn't matter. Worship with song. Yes, with song. I can tell you right now, those of us who know Jesus and have lived a life of Christ for a little bit of time, if you're just squawking it out, we may smile and chuckle, but man, it's going to be beautiful to us, no matter what it sounds like. May not ask you for a solo, but certainly love to hear everyone making that joyful noise to the Lord. We're to have song. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 says, speaking to one another. Notice it says, speaking to one another. This is a way we... Song is speaking to the soul. Even if you don't think you have a good voice, that's okay. Speaking to one another in psalms. Hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making music from your heart to the Lord. The third aspect to worship then is through giving. Oh, people say giving of my time and all. No, we're talking about money. Because that's very much in Scripture. And to worship without giving of our financial resources, honestly, can be very empty. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 to 3. Now about the collection for the saints. You should do the same as I instructed the Galatian churches. On the first day of the week, each of you is to set something aside and save in keeping with how he prospers, so that no collections will need to be made when I come. When I arrive, I will send with letters those you recommend to carry your gracious gift to Jerusalem. They were giving to the work of the Lord. And that's what we should do. That's what we should do as part of our worship. And notice they set it aside weekly. They set it aside during the week, so that on the first day of the week, and they took the collections, they'd have something to give. That's biblical. It's part of our worship. And honestly, it should be a daily thing that I set money aside. You know, maybe we don't have money coming in daily. That's fine. But that it's something that we do. We set aside in worship to the Lord in joy. If you can't give it in joy, don't give it. Okay? You know, just pray that God will work towards helping you be able to. Because I could probably steer you to some people. I don't know what people give, and I don't look at all that up. But I know there are some givers in this church, and I probably could steer to some, and I'm sure they could give you the joy they've had of giving. Some have even given me testimony of the joy they've had of giving. It's just amazing, and the worship that they've gained because of it. And then the final facet to worship is our personal and corporate attention to the Scriptures. This is so important. God's Word, God's Word, God's Word. Prayer. Giving. Singing. And God's Word, God's Word, God's Word. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Paul said to this young preacher, he said, until I come, give your attention to public reading, exhortation, and teaching of God's Word. Each of us must give attention to God's Word. We have often quoted Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it goes on to explain. That's through Scripture, through God's Word. This is all part of the work of the Lord. Our one purpose, the work of the Lord, to worship. Those facets of worship. Prayer. Singing. Making that joyful noise. Giving. And attention to Scripture. But the work of the Lord is not just worship. It's also something we need to put feet to it. And I'm going to just come right out and say, evangelize. We could say, honestly, I think kind of water it down a little bit by saying witness. No, I'm going to say evangelize. That is the responsibility of every believer. Whether you have the gift of evangelism or not, it doesn't matter. We are all commanded to evangelize. You want to, I believe, the difference between someone with the gift of evangelism and someone who's just evangelizing out of obedience to the Lord and enjoy doing it is this. I am not an evangelizer. I have a friend that is. And no joke, in college we would go to a mall, and I'm just going to give a hypothetical. If each of us talked to 10 people and came back and reported, I would talk to probably 7 Christians and be able to encourage them in their growth and discipleship in Christ. I would probably, out of that 10, have 1 or 2 that just said, I don't want to talk to you. And I might meet one other person that just was, I was just planting a seed. Coming back to talk to him, he would have talked to, out of 10, he would have talked to 7 people who did not know Jesus from the get-go. Of those 7, he would have led 2 or 3 of them to Jesus as Savior that one day. He would have had 2 that rejected him completely. And he would have had 1 that was already a Christian. I'm not kidding. The evangelizer, they have the gift of evangelism. God puts them in front of people that don't know him. But we are all to evangelize. And who knows, we might even have that opportunity where we plant a seed. Or maybe someone else has planted a seed that's been watered. And maybe, like I had the wonderful privilege with Arnold and his and Tony Murray, if you remember him, in the same week, one on a Sunday and the other on a Wednesday of the same week, this church had, and many people in their lives had been praying for them, had been witnessing the gospel of Jesus, planting that seed. They had been watering. And I come in, and I got to lead them to Jesus. But I certainly wasn't blind to the fact that it had anything to do with me, because it didn't. It had all to do with Jesus. And then he used so many of you and others in their lives. And I just got to be there to watch God bring him into the family. What a beautiful thing. And sometimes you get that blessing and it is amazing. So we're to worship in the work of the Lord. That one purpose is to worship. It is to evangelize. But it's also to be benevolent. Benevolent. Well, Pastor, didn't you just talk about giving? Well, I talked about giving as part of worship, but benevolence is beyond that. That's a giving of your time, of your efforts, of your being, of who you are. You can be benevolent at your work. You can be benevolent in your neighborhood, in your home. You can be benevolent when you're at the grocery store. You can be benevolent in your church. But to be benevolent, it's a responsibility for each one of us. To evangelize, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, we're ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf to be reconciled with God, and to be benevolent is... This is stated in 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 and 18. This is how we have come to know love. Jesus laid down his life for us. We should lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has this world's goods and sees his brother in need, but closes his eyes to his need, how can God's love reside in him? Little children, we must not love with our word or speech, but with truth and action. So to evangelize is an action. To be benevolent is an action. To worship, it's an action. That's why we say these are the work of the Lord. All of these bring us to the point of our lives where we are humbling ourselves on a daily basis before Almighty Creator God. We are coming to Him in obedience. So many of us, and I'm guilty of it too, we want to kind of be very introspective of ourselves. We don't necessarily want to ruffle any feathers in our family or our community. And so therefore, when we worship, we're pretty quiet about it. Baptists are real good at that. Honestly, when we come to worship here at church, let it be an expression of something we've done all week long. Go ahead, raise your hands up. That's okay. Go ahead and, man, just, you know, maybe you just need to move a little bit. That's okay. It's not a very Baptist thing to do. But it is a very Christian thing to do. And when we come to evangelize, let's get excited about our Savior, our Jesus. We have the cure for the world. Let's tell people about it. Oh man, they may laugh at us. They may say, hey, get out of here or whatever. That's fine. I think I've told you all this before, but there is an evangelist. His name's Ken Freeman. And you know, when he got saved, all he knew, he did not tell someone how to be saved. All he knew, I'm no longer going to hell, I'm going to heaven. And so what he'd do is he'd come to his friends and he'd say, hey, listen, I'm going to heaven, and you're going to hell. They go, what? In fact, he had one friend who was bigger than him, and one day said, Ken, if you tell me I'm going to hell one more time, I'm going to kill you. And he looked at him and he said, well, that's okay, because I'll go to heaven and you'll still be going to hell. Because he didn't know how to tell him that Jesus loves you. He just knew Jesus loved him. Jesus loves you and he doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to go to heaven. Let's get excited about who we are. How do you get excited? Worship every day. Worship every day. Get excited about it. Sing. I don't care if it sounds terrible. I like how Paul worded it. He said, speak to one another in psalms and hymns. Because he understood some of us, it just sounded like talking instead of singing. That's okay. And when we start getting excited in worship and we start, then we're going to want to tell people about Jesus and evangelize. When we start wanting to tell people and evangelize, we're going to realize, whoa, I better make sure I've got actions behind this and be benevolent. And so if someone's hurting, I'm going to step in. I'm not just going to throw money at it. I'm personally going to step in. Their porch fell in. They don't have the money to fix it. I'm not just going to, here's some money, go get it fixed. I'm going to step in. Hey, listen, I can swing a hammer. We'll buy some plywood and stuff. I'm going to take some time off or whatever it might be. And we're going to pound some nails in. We're going to do the best. In fact, I know the guy at my church, he actually knows what he's doing. He'll come and give us some instructions so that we don't mess it up. Let's put your porch back together a little bit. Something like, I know that's trite, but that's benevolence. Putting action to it, not just throwing money at it. The work of the Lord. It's worship. It's evangelism, it's benevolence, and the finalization of the work of the Lord is simple. It's discipleship. It's multiplying myself. As I've allowed Jesus to multiply in me, I multiply myself in someone else. I had a mentor tell me, he said, Kurt, you always need to have someone who's mentoring you. But that should always be coupled with someone you are consciously and purposefully mentoring. In other words, he is saying, you need someone to disciple you, Kurt. Always. No matter how old you are. If you're 80, you need someone discipling you. But that's no good unless you are also discipling someone else. Who are you discipling? Who are you discipling? Scary thought. For some of us, maybe. Who are you discipling to be just like you? And does the just like you look like, more and more and more, look like Jesus? That's what the goal is. How do I know that's the goal? Because Jesus told us that's the goal. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came near and he said to them, to his disciples, and said to all of us, all authority, listen to this, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. These are some things we just blow by sometimes. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven. Well, that's a given. No. And on earth. Then he gives the command to each one of us. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Make disciples. Make people who are like me in the work of the Lord, who will worship daily with that vigor of worship, coming together corporately once a week at a minimum and worshiping God in prayer. Worshiping God in prayer. Worshiping God in song. Worshiping God in the way I give, and I want them to see how I give, not to, in pride, but so that they know to give. Worshiping God then. Worshiping God in my worship. But then I don't just do that, I put action to it. I evangelize. And I have this disciple, and I show them what it is to evangelize. Not, let's walk through a book. Not because we're going to both be evangelists, but we go together. It might be just something we're going shopping together, and I talk to the clerk and ask them how they're doing. And I ask them, you know, do you enjoy your job? I say, hey, you know, are you part of a church family? Do you have support outside of, you know, just your home? Have you ever thought about Jesus? I don't know. It could be just something simple like that. Who is Jesus to you? Could say. Find out what they think. Start evangelizing, and then making sure, what if you start talking to someone and you're with, you know, maybe there's just two of you. You can be a friend. I'm talking just a friend that you don't even have to say, hey, you're my disciple. Come on, you know. It doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to be formal. You're just with someone and they watch your life and they say, man, I want to be like that. You ever had someone that you said, man, I want to be like that? Because they're so much like Jesus? I hope you have. Well, be that for someone else. And then that person you're talking to, they have a need, and so you practice benevolence. You don't just throw money at them or give them some advice and say, hey, good luck. But you say, hey, listen, can I come over and help you? Can I sit with you? You're depressed. Can I talk with you? Can I be your friend? We got to start putting feet to this. Every one of us, we got to start putting feet to this. We have to start making it real. And then we disciple that way. We disciple that way as people come to know Jesus. And I'm going to give the example. Arnold Galyon. For myself, I had the wonderful privilege of talking a sales term of closing the deal. It was really Jesus and the Holy Spirit closing the deal, but I got to be part of that. And then I got to be a real part of discipling Arnold. And he got to see how I worship. He got to see how I evangelize a little bit. He got to see benevolence in my life. He even got to see how I disciple. But guess what? This is the beautiful thing. It wasn't just me. And it's not about me. Because some of you had way more effect on his life than I did. You showed him how to worship. Many of you showed him how to evangelize. Many of you showed him what true benevolence was. Many of you showed him discipleship. Folks, I want to tell you, I won't go into any detail, but there was a relationship in Arnold's life that was severed. It was something, a matter of prayer for the 3 years I knew Arnold. And through you guys, and the discipleship that has been done here, at this church and through this church body, before he passed, that relationship was reunited, was put back together. Oh, it's beautiful. That one purpose is walking in the Word and walking as Jesus walked. It's the work of the Lord. It's worship. It's evangelism. It's benevolence. It's discipleship. Each one of us has a responsibility to each facet of that one purpose. The challenge I have for us today is this: that we will get excited this week about worshiping individually every day. Just surprise people at your home and just start singing if you don't already do that. And it doesn't have to sound good. Doesn't matter. You know, if you bring to mind a hymn we sing here at church or whatever, grab a psalm. You ever done that? And just grab a psalms, one of the psalms, and I don't know, it doesn't have to have a tune. Just make a tune for it. See what works. Doesn't have to sound good. Well, guess what? Paul even gave us room to just speak it. But do it out loud. Do it out loud. That's singing. Make sure that we couple this with prayer. We should pray without ceasing. That's what the Bible tells us. But let's worship. Next Sunday, let's see what God does. Whatever excitement you gain in your private and personal worship, bring it here. Bring it here. I'm probably not going to ask you to run around a room or anything like that. But if you want to raise your hand up, that'll be fine. If it's truly worship, your way of worshiping. But let's bring worship. That's our challenge this week. Bring worship to Zohar Baptist Church like it's never been before. Let's see a difference with things. Will you pray with me? Holy God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to corporately today worship. Worshiping is that of humbling ourselves and exalting you. May you be exalted. Anything I've said, minimize me. Only let your word stand out from today's time of worship and from this sermon. We sang words that were so beautiful and all about you, God. May those be the things that stand out. May those be the things that spur us to worship every day this week. May we consciously worship. May we be determined tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, to worship. Coming together Sunday, may our worship be even more glorious next Sunday because of it. May we be all about that one purpose and work of the Lord. I pray especially now for the Galleon family. This is truly a tremendous time of loss, losing the patriarch of their family. For us, we're losing a friend. But we want to lift them up especially, because this is a friend, it's a father, it's a brother, it's a brother-in-law, it's a grandpa. Lord, a husband. Prayers with the family. I think of Jean as well. We lift these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.